greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Come, now is the time to worship. Come, now is the time to give your heart. Come, just as you are. Just as you are before your God. Come. One day every tongue will confess you are God. One day every knee will bow. Still the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Just as you are to come, just as you are come, just as you are come. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing for sin I cried. My heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Come to this mountain. So rich and sweet, cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood of.
Ushers, if you'd come forward, please. And as they're coming forward, I just have one announcement to make. Kind of got left out. choir practice, we're actually having two rehearsals now. Choir practice at 5:45 on Sunday, just letting all you choir members know that. And then still at 6:15 on Wednesday. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father God, Lord, we come this morning, Lord, lifting up our praises, our voices to you, God, our great God and King, Lord, the great sustainer and redeemer. Lord, you are a great provider, Lord, and we come and we give you glory. We give thankfulness to you this morning, Lord. Lord, as we've gathered this morning, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will move freely through this service, Lord, that you pour your spirit upon it. Lord, begin right now to begin to prepare our hearts and minds, Lord, to be attentive, receptive to the things of you, Lord. Stir our hearts to the things of you, Lord. I pray, Lord, today you'll penetrate our hearts. You'll convict us, shape us, mold us, encourage us through the message you've given my brother today. Lord, I pray for life change today, Lord, that we'll take and apply what we're taught from you today, Lord, into our lives. Lord, I pray for salvation today, Lord. And Lord, for this time of offering, Lord, we come and we just pray, Lord, that you bless it, Lord, the gift and the giver. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
All right, congregation, if you would please stand back up. As the deer, let's sing this morning.
As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength,
you alone are
my Savior, I come to Thee.
You may be seated.
This morning I'll be singing Midnight Cry.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind. It's closer now than it's ever been. I can almost hear the trumpet as Gabriel sounds the call. And at the midnight cry, going on. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him. Comes again. I look around me, I see prophecies fulfilling, and the signs of the time they're appearing everywhere. I can almost hear the Father as he says, son, go get your children. And at the midnight cry, the bride of Christ will rise. When Jesus steps out on a cloud to call his children, the dead in Christ shall rise to meet him. The midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, and then those that remain shall be quickly changed. And at the midnight cry, again. At the midnight cry, when Jesus comes again, when Jesus
Thank you, brother. Wow. That's good stuff, amen? So let me ask you, do you really look forward to that? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I'm not going to preach that, but that's where that song came from. It's where its origin is found. And isn't it exciting to know that one of these days, the eastern sky is going to bust wide open, and those of us who are alive and remain will, after those who are dead in Christ bust the graves wide open, then we're going to be called up together to meet them in the air. And then the scripture says, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but that's good news for me. Amen. And it makes me have something to be thankful about. Are you thankful this morning? Some of you thought that was really not a question, right? Are you thankful this morning? I'm thankful this morning. I want to share, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians this morning, chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. But I'm thankful, and this is what the scripture says. This is what God's word says while you're turning there. Psalms 95, verses 1 through 3 says this, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Then he goes on and says this, Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. And here's the reason. This is reason to give thanks. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Wow. Let me ask you again. Are you thankful this morning? We're moving in, transitioning right now to that time of season where we are preparing to give thanks. There are so many things that we have to give thanks for. And I want you to begin to think right now, what is that one thing in your life you are most thankful for? One thing. One thing. Try and think of one word right now, that one thing, one word that you are most thankful for. I'm going to give you about 3-4 seconds. Think about it. One word, describe. One thing you are most thankful for. Wait a minute. Now, some of you are going to go super spiritual on me. I want you to say whatever it is on your mind. Listen, I'm going to count to three, and all at the same time, that one word, I want you to call it. I want you to say it. One word, what is it? You ready? I'm going to see if I can hear any of you say anything at all. One, two, wait a minute. I didn't get my count just right. Do you have your word? If you have your word, raise your hand. I want to see. All right, some of you don't have a word. We're going to sit here until you have a word also. I'm just going to tell you, we're going to get to the message, but only after you think of something that you're thankful for. Now, I want to ask you again. I'm just going to tell you, I can do this all day long. How many of you have your word? I still saw some hands not go up. All right, most of you did, so we'll go with it. On the count of three, you ready? Say your word on three. One, two, three. I couldn't understand that a bit. Let's do it again. You obviously didn't say the same thing. Let's one more time on the count of three. One, two, three. Jesus. Christ. That's what I heard most from most of you. Some of you said salvation. Somebody said for their wife. Which one of you was that? I heard it. It was Brad McDaniel. So there's so many things that we have to be thankful for, right? Amen. And the Word of God tells us in Psalms 95 that we're to come in with thanksgiving on our hearts. And then he went on and said, shouting joyfully to the God of our salvation. I'm going to tell you, if you don't have something to be thankful for, then you got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning, and I want to give you a redo. And so we're going to hit that button right now, that redo button, and you just back up and pretend that you're getting up on the other side of the bed, because today, I'm telling you, you have something to give thanks for. You have someone to be thankful for. And we're going to look at the scripture this morning in Philippians, and Paul was a man that had so many things to be thankful for. And we're going to look at the scripture in just a moment. We're going to see some of those things. But there are three things that I want to submit to you this morning concerning being thankful. And let me go on and submit just a little bit more of that.
A lot of it has to do with people God has placed in your lives. And I want to tell you, God has placed so many different people in my life, so many. If I were to just call one name, it would really be a difficult task for me to do. But so many people God has placed in our lives. And we're going to talk about some of these things this morning. And we're going to learn to be thankful for those individuals that God places in our lives. So with that, I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 this morning. Paul and Timothy, bond servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 3 and following. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Will you join me in prayer? Father in heaven, today in the name of Jesus, I want to ask that you would take your word, that you would begin the process of preparing our hearts, and Lord, that you would soften our hearts where they need to be softened, Lord, but that conviction would be made where conviction is needed. And today, our purpose is to realize we have so many things to be thankful for, so many people, Lord, you've placed in our lives that we're to be thankful for. And we ask today that as your word goes forth, that it'll not return void. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul was in one of these situations where this is, the Philippians is, it's a letter written while he was in prison. This is one of the prison epistles. And I want to tell you, it's, I think, from a standpoint of Paul, if you were to try and empathize with him just a little bit and put yourself in his shoes. Now you're in prison for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. Just kind of go with me. If you're in prison for whatever reason, are you really going to be very thankful about a lot of things? Is there a lot of things at this point, do you think, to be thankful for? The reason I ask is I know many, many, many people who are imprisoned for one reason or another. I have family who have been imprisoned, and I know that when we go and visit, their demeanor changes immediately from kind of somber and why do I have to be here to one of great joy when you see them. And they're so thankful to be able to see you at that moment. But then what do they think when they turn around and they're not with us anymore? Well, here Paul is. He's in prison. It doesn't seem like he would have a lot going for him. But can I share with you something that he has going for him that a lot of other people during this time didn't have? Jesus. Paul had Jesus going for him. And so much to the point that he was excited about who Christ was in his life. As we look at the scripture in just a minute, this is what he said. He says in verse 3, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, understand that he's in prison. He's in chains. He's also says in verse 1 that he's a bondservant. So not only is he a slave to Jesus Christ, he's saying, but also he is in prison so that he isn't free to be out and about the way you and I are this morning. There's some hindrances. There's something that's keeping him from being free on the outside of the jail, and that's bars. But you can read the scripture, and you can tell that it's one of love and warmth and great joy as he wrote this letter to the Philippian church. And this morning, what we're going to be able to see is that he just pours his heart out talking to the church at Philippi, praising them, thanking God for who they are. And so the first thing that I submit to you this morning as we look at the scripture is as we learn about being thankful, you've already said that you're thankful, right? Well, Paul was thankful, and he was thankful for those special people in his life. That's number one. Paul was thankful for those special people in his life. But listen to this, because this is important. Not only was he thankful for those special people in his life, but he said this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He was thankful to the point that he remembered them in his prayers. Upon every remembrance of them, he remembered them when he got on his knees during the day, when he humbled himself, when he prostrated himself down in the jail cell on that dirty old floor, you have to realize, you want to begin to picture these things. You know, he didn't have running water. He didn't have a toilet over in the corner that he could flush when he was finished. He was in a little bit different circumstance that you and I think about when we consider those who are in prison today. But he said this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. And he was thanking God. And this morning, when I ask you, are you thankful? I think the big idea is for you to realize that you need to be thankful for special people in your life, but you need to thank God for those special people in your life, right? And so Paul was very thankful. He was excited, as a matter of fact. He was joyful. He would say at this point that his cup overflows because of the people that God had placed in his life. They were people that he was even encouraged by. And so Paul was fond of them. Paul loved them. Matter of fact, they had become his friends. Isn't that good? They become his friends. They were family. And we'll get to that in a minute. But how many of you have those individuals in your life that you're thankful for? Yeah. You got those people in your life that you're thankful for. And Paul did this. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So I want to ask you, do you thank God for those people that God has placed in your life? Do you? I know that you've probably done it occasionally, but Paul said he does it on every remembrance of them. When he thinks about these people, this church, and everything that they had done for him and the progression of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul said upon every remembrance of them, he thanked his God. What does that mean? Listen, that means that throughout his day, wherever Paul was, whatever Paul was doing, if they crossed his mind, he said, thank you, Lord. It didn't matter if he was driving down the road in a chariot or walking down the road in shackles or imprisoned between soldiers. If they crossed his mind, Paul said, thank you, Lord, for these people in my life. I think one of the things that we struggle in doing so many times is we just get burdened down with life's difficulties, with struggles, don't we? And we fail to realize just how blessed we are. And I think when we get to this point, when God does remind us of the blessings of individuals in our lives, we fail to give God praise for those people. We fail to give him thanks. Listen, Albert Schwarter was he was born in the 1800s. He died in 1966, and he was a German theologian, actually moved to France and had a career there for a little while. But listen to what he said. He quoted, and I quote him. He says, in everyone's life, at some time, our inner fire goes out. Will you agree with that this morning? Sometimes life burdens you to the point where you're so down in the dumps, you're so depressed that you don't even want to get out of bed in the morning. You ever been there? Let's be honest this morning. All of us have been there at one time or another, and this is what Albert said. He said, in everyone's life at some time, our inner fire goes out. It is then burst into flame by an encounter with another human being. All right, so sometimes we just have the blahs. Sometimes we just have the oh, woe is me's. And he said, and we all get that way. And he goes on and he says that it's then burst into flames again. So that fire that has gone out is rekindled at some point, right? So listen to the rest of it. He says, it is then burst into flames by an encounter with another human being. We should all be thankful for those people who rekindle that inner spirit. We should be thankful for those individuals. And Paul was thankful for these people. Who are these people in your life? Who are they? They're family. They're friends. They're people that you love. They're people you respect. There's people that you hold in high regard. It's someone that may not even be a blood relative to you, but they want to be in your life, and you want them in your life. Regardless of the mess you've made of things, they're people who love you just the way you are. Amen? Matter of fact, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says this, a friend loves at all times. But Albert was saying that these people come along in our lives, and when we're down, when we're blue, they lift our spirits again. Have you ever had someone inject that kind of passion back into your life after that fire has gone out? Have you ever had someone come up to you right when you've needed it and just give you a big old hug around the neck? Isn't that special? And here's the thing. They may not have had any idea how you were feeling that day, but God just knows where you are, and he knows what needs to happen. And for Paul, he was in prison, and the church at Philippi knew of his circumstances. And what they did is they tried to help him any way that they could. And that encouraged Paul. It encouraged him to the point that he needed to get a letter back to them telling them of the joy he now had because of their friendship. I think you and I need to be thankful for those people in our lives. Who are those people in your life? Who are they? Is it a spouse? Is it a mother or a grandmother? Who are these people in your lives? Is it an uncle or an aunt? Who are they? There's someone in your life that you're so thankful for. Is it a Sunday school teacher? Is it a best friend at church? Is it someone you work with? They're just best friends. You know that they see you when you're down, and they tell you that it's going to all be okay. Well, what Paul was doing is he said this. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. It was great joy in Paul's heart, and he was thanking God for those special people that he had placed in his life right in the middle of a jail cell. He was thanking God. So let's try and transition that. What is that principle for you? Listen, maybe you're in the middle right now of a spiritual jail cell. I don't know, but God knows. And is it such that you're so burdened down with worldly issues that fire has gone out? And I love what Albert said. He says that these people come along to reignite that fire, to rekindle. So listen, I'm telling you, you're going to think I've absolutely lost my mind. But I want you to stand up. Preacher, you're going too far. Making us stand up and get out of our comfort zone. I didn't want you to stretch, but that's okay if you need to stretch. Now, I want you to turn to the person to the right or to the left of you, and I want you to shake their hand or give them a hug around the neck. And I want you to say, I love you in Christ Jesus. We need that sometimes, don't we? Listen, I'm serious. Just shake a hand. Just listen. It's important that we do these things. Wow, I'm going to tell you guys, that looks great from where I am. Now let me ask you a question. Doesn't it feel good to get those handshakes, those pats on the back, those hugs? Did that feel good? Sit down if you will. I'm just trying to make a point that sometimes we all need that. And God knows exactly what we need, and he knows when we need it. And he sends those people in our lives. And we've got to be willing and able to thank God for those people. Those special people that God has placed in our lives. Do you have them? Amen. Second thing this morning is that we need to thank him for the joy that they bring us. It's one thing to acknowledge that we have special people in our lives. Amen. It's one thing to acknowledge that, but it's something altogether to thank God for the joy that they bring us as individuals. And I say that because it seems like we're so busy. It's such a rat race in our lives today. There's so many things going on that we don't take the time to be joyous for the people God has placed in our circle of influence, the people that God has placed in our lives, the people God has surrounded us with. We don't often take the time to do that, Brad. You know it? We don't often take the time to do that, Brad McDaniel. And so many others of you, listen, we don't often take the time to do that. Miss Jerry, you guys bring joy to me. So many others of you, I'm telling you, but you bring joy to my heart. Why is it that you bring joy to my heart? I want to share with you, this is why you bring joy to my heart. Because there are times when the preacher just needs someone to spill his guts to. And you guys let me do it. And then you give me hugs. And it reminds me to be thankful for the people God has placed in my life. Thankful. I have a beautiful baby girl over there. She's 18 years old, but she's my baby. And God has placed her in my life, and you bring joy to me. And we need to thank God for those people. And then I've got Ellis and I have Ty, and they bring joy to me. And then God has given me a beautiful wife. Listen to me. She brings joy to me. God has placed these people in our lives, and we have to realize that they're special. Amen? But then we have to be thankful for the joy they bring us. The reason that's important is because joy is not always something that fills our hearts, is it? There are issues. There are some times when we're just so burdened down. But this is what he said. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Listen to this, verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy. There's joy there. Paul was happy. Listen, not only was Paul happy about these people, but he was so happy that when he remembered them, he thanked God for them, and there was joy in his heart because of those people. And I think it's so important for you and for me to acknowledge to God, the one who placed these people in our lives, the joy they bring us. I love to be able to acknowledge to you that you bring me joy, that my family brings me joy, that my friends bring me joy. Listen to this, that my Jesus brings me joy. And the scripture says, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 20, you, Paul was writing, you are our glory and joy. He was writing to the church. He said, you are our glory and joy. What was it about the church that allowed him to say that they were his glory? He had been able to share Jesus with them, and they had accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior. And what Paul was saying, you need to understand this. Paul was giving God the praise. He was making sure that God was the one that received glory for this, for these individuals. But he said, if there's any glory in it for me, it goes straight to you. That ultimately is what Paul was saying. And it says, always in every prayer. How often when he prayed, how often was there joy in his heart upon remembrance of them? In every prayer. And we've got to take the time to be able to acknowledge that. Do you know the kind of joy I'm talking about this morning? Really, do you understand the kind of joy I'm talking about? Let me try and paint you a picture. I love to tease my children. Not tease them. That's the wrong choice of wording. But as we draw closer to Christmas, we're beginning to purchase presents for our families and for our loved ones. We're beginning to do these things. And And every year we go to Tracy's parents, we go to my grandmother's, and we open presents. And then when we get home, always on Christmas Eve night, we always allow our children to open one present. They can't stand it. They have to open one present. And so I do. We always let them open one present. And that brings me joy. But that joy is different from the joy I receive on Christmas morning when my children wake up and they go into the living room and they see the rest of the gifts that they have received. I love that. They're so excited because there's something in there that they've requested, something in there that they've asked for. And you see their little eyes light up. I remember, listen to this, I wanted my own telephone line. You know, when I was 13, maybe 14 years old, cell phones weren't as readily available today as they are. And I wanted my own telephone line in my bedroom so I could talk to my girlfriend. Some of you will get that tomorrow, and you'll think that was funny. But I wanted it, and I wanted it, and I asked for it, and I asked for it, and I didn't receive it for Christmas. But then I woke up Christmas morning to my phone ringing in my bedroom. I was so overjoyed. I had my own phone number. I have no idea what it was. Don't remember what my phone number was, but I had my own phone number. I was overjoyous. I was excited. That's the kind of joy Paul is talking about, that excitement, that level of excitement the church brought him, the church at Philippi. I think we need to be willing to thank God for the joy that those special people bring us. The third thing this morning is we need to thank him for the faith they have in Jesus. Listen to the scripture. This is verse 5. It's important. He says, make a request for you all with joy. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. From your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And so he was thanking them for the faith they had in Jesus. For the fellowship, that koinonia, that fellowship, that there was something they all had in common. And that commonality is what brought Paul his joy. That's where he said to the church at Thessalonica that he gave God the praise and the glory. It says, you are our glory and joy. And this is it. It was because of the fellowship. It was because of the kindred spirit. It was because of the relationship that each individual who made up the church had with Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, when you think about this as a whole, the big picture is this. Churches then, just like today, were made up of families. Amen? And they would gather together, and when the father was doing what he was supposed to in these days, if the father worshiped Jesus or one of the Roman gods, then the family would worship the same God. And the reason is because they were the ones who led their homes. What if today, men, listen, what if today God raised up some men to lead their homes the way they used to? What if God raised up some of us to lead our homes in such a way that we lead our children to salvation, the faith in Jesus Christ, because he is our one true God, the only God? Wow! That's what Paul was doing. He was praising God because of that. And so, I have faith in Jesus Christ as a result of my faith. Maybe I'm going to embarrass you. My daughter has received Christ as her Lord and Savior. Amen? My baby boy, 10 years old now, isn't he? 10 years old. He's received Jesus as his Lord and Savior. My 15-year-old boy, he's taller than I am. He's received Jesus as Lord and Savior. Why was this possible? Listen to me. Fathers, thank you, baby. I love you. Listen to me. Fathers, listen to me. The reason that's possible is because I have faith in Jesus and I want that to be delivered to my children. And I told them about Jesus. I remember, I'm telling you, every one of my children, I remember. And listen, even more special for me, I got to be the one to baptize them. Thank you, Lord, for that. Wow. But I want to tell you, I remember the only one that really I was so excited about was Ty. He was 7 years old. We had just gotten out of church on Sunday night. We had gone to eat at the Chinese restaurant. You remember, baby? And I went into the dollar store to get a Dr. Pepper for my wife. While I was in the dollar store, I come back out, I climb up in the van, and everybody's bawling. What happened? Ty just asked Jesus to come into his heart. And then I start bawling. And then my eyes just fill up with tears. And I'm thinking, in the van, church was an hour and a half ago. Why couldn't you have done it then? Because it wasn't time for him to give his heart to Christ, right? And so then I start tearing up. And I'm one of those kind of cries. And it's because of the joy that filled my heart because now my son had trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. It was the joy that filled my heart because my daughter had trusted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. The joy that filled my heart because my Ellis has trusted Jesus as his Lord and Savior. That's possible because I have faith in Jesus Christ. Koinonia, fellowship. Fathers, when you grow in that right relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, it's infectious. People see that, especially your children. When you make it a priority in your life, they will make him a priority in their lives. You've got to understand, listen to me. I'm not saying that when they trust Jesus as their Savior, they're going to make all the wisest decisions ever. Because we know that's not the reality of it. But what I'm saying is you can take comfort in knowing that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. And so Paul, he said, and I'm wrapping this up, but he said, I praise God, give him thanks with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Because Paul told them about Jesus. They had received Jesus as their personal Savior. That relationship had been developed by those in the church. The men in the church stood up and trusted Christ. And when they did, then their families began to trust Jesus as their personal Savior. But that, and then Scripture says in Romans chapter 1, verse 12, it says, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both you and me. It's encouraging, Brad, isn't it, when we know that our babies love Jesus. As the student pastor, isn't it encouraged when you see one of those children make a decision? I mean, they're your extended children. I understand that. There's nothing more encouraging when a father and mother, and some of you in here have been the ones, and I point fingers at you because you're in here this morning, you led your children to salvation. You were able to do that because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's why that was possible. And so we close this morning. I want to ask you again. Are you thankful? Church, are you thankful? I want to preach another one next week just in case you don't get it today. Who are you thankful for? Who is it that brings joy to your heart, to your life? Why do they bring that joy? Today, I don't know where you are. I don't know what God is speaking to you about, but I promise you there's something for you to be thankful about. There's someone in your life for you to be thankful for. And today, my prayer is that you share that joy with God. That you tell him. That you say, Father, thank you for my relationships. Thank you for my best friends. Thank you for my family. Thank you for my mother, my grandmother, my father, my grandfather. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my neighbors. Thank you for these people that I'm able to see a difference in their lives because they have trusted you as Lord and Savior. Today, you've got something to be thankful for. My prayer is that you would give thanks to the one who is due to receive it. And you'll do that this morning. Pray with me. Father in heaven today, Lord, I know there are a lot of us who have gathered who may, for whatever reason, have a lot of anxiety in our hearts. Lord, we may have a lot of burden placed upon our shoulders, and Lord, it seems like it's never ending. From the loss of a loved one to the loss of a job, Lord, it seems like it's one burden after another. Lord, my prayer is today that we realize that we should give you thanks, praise, honor, and glory, because we know that there are special people in each one of our lives. And that we should give you thanks for those people because of the joy they bring, because of the mutual faith they have in you. Father, my prayer today is that the church would respond in giving you thanks, that they would respond in saying how wonderful you are for placing these people in their lives. And Father, I pray that today would be a day of thanksgiving. Lord, I pray that every day this week would be a day of thanksgiving. Next week, Lord, as we come upon our time together, next Sunday even, Father, as we meet together Wednesday to have our community stew giveaway, Lord, that we would do that and that we would be thankful for the opportunity to tell people about the love of Jesus. Father, for the meal that we're going to have, for the baptism that is going to follow our service this morning. We just have so many things to be thankful for. But the greatest joy that fills our hearts today is because of you dying on Calvary's Hill for a sinner such as me. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for making me one with you and knowing that my home isn't here, but my eternal home is in heaven in your presence. And Father, today my prayer is that we would be able to give thanks together. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to ask that you'd stand. We're going to have an invitation time. And I just want to ask, I know you can do it where you are, but you know as well as I do, there's something special about flooding the altar and bowing your knee and telling God thank you. So I'm going to encourage you this morning. I'm going to challenge you this morning to flood this altar telling God thank you for the special people He's placed in your life, for the joy they bring you because of the faith they have in Jesus Christ.
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for